The age of the three big pyramids in Egypt has been the subject of debate for centuries now. I mean, the sheer size of those edifices, plus the size of the blocks that were used to make them, and then the accuracy that they ended up achieving millennia ago, really ends up making a mystery that's tantalized young and old, rich and poor, well-educated, and street trash for a very long time. Written records attribute the pyramids to the three pharaohs from the fourth dynasty, Khufu, Khafre, and Menkaure, and this is the mainstream position, putting the pyramids at about 4,600 years old. American psychic Edgar Cayce claimed they were built around 12,500 years ago. And since there was a little bit of a disparity there, when carbon dating became a thing, it was actually the Edgar Cayce Foundation that financed the first carbon dating expedition to the Giza Plateau in 1984. This was followed by the David Koch Foundation, doing the same thing in 1995, spending quite a bit more money, in fact. Both of these expeditions yielded dates that were hundreds of years earlier than mainstream Egyptologists expected, which of course was thousands of years younger than both the Edgar Cayce Foundation and David Koch wanted. And since this made no one happy, the data's been treated in a manner that's just, well, it's a little bit odd. It's ignored or it's modified, but it's never really just accepted for what it says. And that can be hard for street trash to understand. So I spent a lot of time digging into this, and I read some, and I'm quite confident in my grasp on this one. So sit yourself down for a minute, and we'll discuss the radiocarbon dating in ancient Egypt. Hi, my name is Dan, and welcome to Dedunking. Radiocarbon dating has been connected to Egypt since the early days. In 1949, wood from the tombs of Djoser and Sneferu made up the most famous part of the original group of objects, with known dates, that were then carbon dated as part of the first battery of tests. Both pieces of wood were assigned a margin of error of plus or minus 75 years. The mainstream dating of the rule of Sneferu is 2613 to 2589 BC, and his coffin was dated to 2625 BC. Djoser ruled from 2670 to 2640 BC, and his coffin was dated to 2700 BC. So to be very clear here, right out the gate, they were very accurate with their carbon dating on the Giza Plateau, within 50 years of both of the king's rules. This covers the beginning of the 4th dynasty and some of the 3rd dynasty, so this is right in the part that we're going to be talking about. Because for those of you who aren't aware, mainstream Egyptology says that the three big pyramids, the Sphinx, and a lot of the other cool stuff in ancient Egypt were products of the fourth dynasty. Now, the dates here line up very good. Like I said, this is very important because this is a very unrefined process at this point. They are just learning how to use radiocarbon dating, and they're already getting very good dates right at the time that David Koch and Edgar Cayce sent people there to check it out. Now, the way carbon dating works is important to understand here, so let's go through it quickly. The high-energy cosmic rays from outside the solar system interact with the nitrogen in the upper atmosphere, and as a result, carbon-14 is formed. And this is a radioactive isotope of carbon. Now, radioactive doesn't mean the carbon isotope is going to turn you into some mutant McNugget. In fact, this radioactive form of carbon is all over the planet. Radioactivity just means that the atoms have unstable nucleuses, or nuclei, or nuclei, whatever the proper term is. It means that pieces come off of the nucleus, and as it slowly sheds chunks off of it in a process known as radioactive decay, it transforms from one element into another. This is measurable, not with one atom, you can't pin down one, but with large numbers, you can make a very accurate assessment. You can compare this to rolling a six-sided dice, right? If you roll one six-sided die, you're not really very certain of what you're going to get. But if you roll 100,000 six-sided dice, you can get pretty damn accurate in what you're statistically going to find, and that's what they do with this. Now, some of the carbon-14 isotopes will bond with oxygen and create a form of radioactive carbon dioxide. This is then used by plants in photosynthesis, and then animals like us eat the plants, so living organisms constantly take in this radioactive carbon. And when living organisms cease to exist, they also cease to take in carbon-14. But radioactive decay continues, so as the atoms shed a proton and electron, and eventually go from radioactive carbon-14 to stable nitrogen-14, This is something that can be used to measure how long it's been since the organism last ate something that had C14 in it. Since the actual decay is measured, the more sensitive the instrument, the quicker it is in measuring that decay. So it's really strange that the 1984 expedition gave us much less accurate results in comparison with the written records than we got in 1949 when it was a brand new thing. But that's exactly what happened. When the Edgar Cayce Foundation financed that first major carbon dating expedition to the Giza Plateau, the dates of the 3rd through 5th dynasty were off by 374 years on average. Now, the Edgar Cayce Foundation wanted dates, like I said, around 12,500 years ago. So this was more of a win for Mark Lehner and Zahi Hawass, both of whom were involved in this project. But the dates were off by enough to be troublesome. I mean, this caused a lot of skepticism in carbon dating in Egyptology. So the second expedition was financed about a decade later by David Koch, the refinement of those dates deemed important enough for that billionaire to throw a bunch of money at it. Many more samples were taken, and the dates were closed in some, but not without issues. While the average date became about 200 years younger, and thereby only 1 to 200 years off the written records, Khufu and Khafre's dates between both dating projects spread over 400 years. With more data and presumably better methods, they found worse results as far as the alignment between the written records and the carbon dating, which is not what you would expect, assuming the written records are accurate. Now, I have a reason, or two I should say, as to why I think that the written records aren't accurate here. The first one is I don't believe that the pyramids were built in 20 years, at least not those big boys. When you start talking those, I think it was a multi-generational project. The other thing is, I believe that they probably deleted a family there, a dynasty, a few generations of rulers were erased from the record. I'll explain both of these in detail. But before I get too much further, I should clarify. I do think the Giza Plateau was used by a now-lost civilization, and I think that the Sphinx proves it. I've made a few videos covering this, from the Sphinx giving birth to the Benben stone, to the geological evidence that the Sphinx is certainly older than the pyramids. I believe the pyramids were laid out a very long time ago, placed on sacred sites, like the Great Pyramid sits over that underground cave, right? So I think that the fact that they're laid out in the Orion's Belt layout and it lines up with Leo, it lines up with the Milky Way, and that all lines up best around 12,500 years ago. I don't think that that's a whole coincidence. And the fact that that lines up with when Plato says Atlantis sunk, I don't think it's a crazy idea to say that there might be some truth to this, that there was something more advanced than we give credit for in the Pleistocene. However, there's no question in my mind that most of the pyramids were built in dynastic times. And the carbon dating and the inscriptions in hard-to-reach places, well, those just seal the deal for me. However, there's also no question in my mind that they used techniques that are lost to us now and were so secret that they were flabbergasting the Greeks long after their construction. So I do think there's something up with Egypt. I think that they had some hidden knowledge. I wouldn't be surprised at all to find out that those scans that are coming out from the Italian team right now bear out, that there is stuff underneath there that is a lot more advanced than what we would ever give them credit for. At the same time, I'm a little skeptical of these sorts of things. I always need more evidence when we're looking at things. The more elaborate, the more cool, the more crazy, the more I need to see proof. At any rate, what I'm getting at here is, don't mistake me for just saying, oh, this is completely mundane. There's plenty of cool stuff going on in ancient Egypt. All right, carrying on. When they tell a guy who's worked construction all of his life that the pyramids were built in 20 or 30 years without lasers and without cranes, it's like saying that God did it to a lot of these people. You really just generate more skepticism than you do anything else. But that is the mainstream position. And it's defended so vehemently that you really can't help but wonder why. I mean, the notion that it took so little time is seriously so far removed from reality that it's staggering to find that people believe it. But those people, you know, they tend to either not own tools or not know how to use them properly. Either way, they're certainly not experts on building or construction of any sort. They dig holes and sift sand and take samples and send them to labs to get tested, and then they write papers to reconcile the difference between the dates that they find from the decay of carbon-14 and the dates written by the ancient Egyptians and their contemporaries. No, I'm not just taking cheap shots at him, but I am a little bit here. But seriously, it could have taken 400 years for the pyramids to have been built, the big ones anyway. That's what the carbon dating suggests, and this isn't insane. We've got cathedrals in Europe that took that long to build, and while they're more elaborate with the artwork, they're nowhere near as precise or using as unmanageable construction materials, right? So this isn't a crazy thing to think that a government or a country would spend that kind of time and resources on something. What is crazy to think is that they could slap it together in 20 years and get the results that we have there. That's that again, this just kind of beggars belief. And then there is the other explanation that I brought up, and these two could actually coexist, offering multiple reasons for the disparity between that radiocarbon dating and the records. Because the early dynastic years of Egyptian pharaohs, this was not recorded perfectly. There are figures we know existed but can't place in the family, and there's all kinds of foggy details that cloud much of this period. Now, add to this the known fact that the Egyptians sometimes deleted dynasties, deleted rulers that they found problematic from the record, and all of a sudden the idea that there may well be a missing ruler or a few generations of rulers there isn't so crazy. In fact, Snefru, right, the first big king builder, the first big builder of the fourth dynasty, he built three pyramids, three big pyramids. At least history says he did. Doesn't it make more sense? Especially according to mainstream Egyptology, pyramids are tombs and tombs alone. If that's the case, doesn't it make more sense that he stole the credit for two of those pyramids to help erase those dynasties? And that's why all of a sudden the written records and the carbon dating, because they do line up before this. It's third, fourth, and fifth dynasty. Earlier and later, it lines up. It's like, whoop. So doesn't it make more sense that they deleted a dynasty there? And just like I said in my video about the Sumerian kings list, it's important to remember that in those days, the records were more for legitimizing the rulers and keeping just a handful of elites in the know than educating the public. Now, a list of rulers was used to prove that this dude belongs on the throne, not to teach the fishermen their history. And considering that most regular people don't live as long as their rulers do, the odds of them hearing two kings lists is pretty slim, and the odds of them remembering the first one from 30 years before is really slim. So this isn't the kind of thing where 200 years is really going to matter much at all with the general public. And again, we have evidence of this. I mean, we found King Tut's tomb because he'd been erased from history, so nobody had looted his tomb. Like one guy had started to break in and been caught, and that's that, right? So what we have here, in all honesty, to me, looks like an erased dynasty. But instead of even thinking that direction, we get the Oxford Project, which was, well, it was a little bit on the nutso side. In it, we see multiple attempts to reconcile this dating disparity with the paper titled Reanalysis of the Chronological Discrepancies Obtained by the Old and Middle Kingdom Monuments Project being touted as evidence the carbon dating was accurate. It just needed massaged a little. Now, this paper's funny. I'd never seen it brought up in discussions before until Dave Farina threw it at me in a response video. And it was pretty hilarious because, well, this paper is just bad. I can see why nobody ever talks about it. If the discussion at hand is there's a disparity between the written record and between the carbon dating, why is it? This paper basically seeks to make the carbon dating fit the written record. Now, it doesn't say that, but that's exactly what it seeks to do. The paper uses the same samples the 1984 and 1995 expeditions collected and tested, but then uses Bayesian inference to rein in the disparity. Now, if you don't know, Bayesian inference is a method of statistics that uses new data to, in a perfect world, constantly update a hypothesis. Now, in reality, of course, it's limited by time and funding as well as other constraints. But the idea is you take a hypothesis, determine what you know about it and how certain you are of it, then use new data and an equation to determine how accurate your original assumptions were. The knowledge you believe to be true out the gate is called prior information, and this is what's modified by the new data. Now, in the case of carbon dating, you can have dendrochronology or stratigraphy or even written records as the prior information. Of course, dendrochronology or stratigraphy are much more robust than written records. But in this case, not only are they using the written records, but they're giving them a high degree of accuracy. Now, this will skew the result bad enough, but in addition to this, they eliminated any samples that don't correspond with known pharaoh reigns. In other words, if the result from a sample didn't align with the date of a known king of Egypt, that sample was eliminated from the test, meaning by default, the main body of information used in the formula assumed the written records were correct. So, of course, when the results came in, the carbon dating and written records now align so neatly it's not even a problem anymore, which is ridiculous because if they had used as prior information the assumption that, I don't know, the carbon dating, the hard data, was correct instead of the assumption that the written records were correct, well, they would have gotten a end result that said that the edifices were older than the written records were. This is the kind of thing that can easily be massaged any which direction. And this is really sad because the very reason that these measurements were taken to begin with was because of a perceived disparity between the written records and the actual timeline of ancient Egypt. So by just using math to just discard this, using little trickery here, not even math at that point, when you discard the numbers, they don't get a chance to be mathed. This is pretty fucking underhanded, man. Now, in fact, the entire Oxford project was basically based around Bayesian modeling and the desire to eliminate the disparity in the dates, which shows just how hard they bent over to make it fit, and this isn't surprising. The carbon dating started in ancient Egypt, like I said, and the reason was the perceived strength of the written records. And these written records cover so much of the ancient world that if you go kicking the tires on these and changing things, they're going to have to change so many things that it's like telling a theologian that David didn't exist, right? You're going to get pushback because it basically just fucking rewrites everything. So this is a serious problem for the mainstream Egyptologists, and to the point where they actually didn't accept carbon dating very much for a long time because it just didn't line up. This science just doesn't line up with our words on a page, which, as I pointed out in the past, is a little bit on the problematic side of things. So they use this Bayesian modeling and they just kind of move things around a little bit instead of actually reworking a hypothesis, because that's complicated and hard. This is easy by comparison. Just plug it into OxCal and go, baby. And that's not to say the Bayesian method is unscientific or that it has no place in carbon dating. I mean, in many cases, it's used to refine a date where radiocarbon and other hard data is used. And if the prior information is another scientific method of dating something, like stratigraphy in a known area, then that Bayesian method is not going to bend to biases like it will if you use written records. But in most of these cases, there was really no debate around the age of the sites, right? So that's really where the problem is here, is there is a debate around this. That's the whole reason that these dates were gathered, this data was gathered to begin with. So this is really, really egregious. What they've done here is they've got these two different hypotheses, and it's like, we can't even have yours potentially have even a tiny little sliver of being right. And this is very typical for the way they treat guys like Graham Hancock or Edgar Cayce or freaking myself nowadays. But the problem there is this is not scientific, but it's taking scientific stuff, right? Like, let's put it this way. How many times have you heard people say, hey, you know what, that Graham Hancock guy, he should spend some money and have archaeologists go with him and help him out on these sites. So the Edgar Cayce Foundation and David Koch do just that. They spend some money. They send those boys out there. They gather the data. The data's got a problem with the mainstream narrative. And the mainstream's like, what problem? And they wonder why there's a whole freaking robust freaking conspiracy theory community where people are like, I know those motherfuckers are up to something. Well, because they are. The situations like this, it's a smoking gun for the obfuscation, and that leaves things to the imagination, which is always worse than reality. So my advice to those of you who want to be like public-facing archaeologists would be to like, I don't know, clean up your image by not letting things look so shady. I mean, this paper honestly needs retracted. But it made it through the gates of archaeology because archaeology often values dogma over data, especially when it comes to Egyptology. And this is why they sent their chubby little chihuahua, Dave Farina, after me. And he actually thinks that this is a good paper. I've got a response video to him that's going to be premiering on my other channel as soon as this one ends, and it's worth checking out because his level of ignorance is hilarious. Either he can't understand what he's reading, or he doesn't know anything about carbon dating, or he doesn't understand Bayesian inference, or maybe he's just freaking dishonest. But no matter how you slice it, yeah, you want to check it out. The link will be down below. It'll be hilarious, I promise. At any rate, I do think this kind of stuff is really long overdue for exposure. They've used the old Wood hypothesis to try to explain this away, which would be fine if we didn't have ubiquitous problems in the dates, and that they fixed themselves in the first and second dynasty, in the sixth and seventh and eighth and ninth and tenth dynasty, no problems. But third, fourth, and fifth, we got these real issues there. That's where these old Wood hypotheses and stuff, it just becomes crap. Efforts to massage this bump in the data away, I'm sorry, it's a joke. So anyway, hope you go check out my other video. I'm going to be in Sedona, Arizona, May 1st through 3rd. You want to check that out as well. There's links to support the channel down below. Make some great comments down below or talk crap about me. It's up to you. Hope to see you next time, and thank you so much. Again, guys, love you guys to death. Even you, Mandy, you little turd. See you guys next time.